Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bontigli. It's Tuesday, June the 30th. We're well 1 week into summer. The NASCAR season has come to the end of its first half. The second half is starting this coming weekend at Daytona. And we'll be getting into all that. But right now, I'd like to bring to the show my very special guest, driver of the number 8 Toyota Camry for TriStar Motorsports, Mr. Blake Cook. Blake, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, how are you, man?
Oh, not too bad. We decided to have you on. You have a big announcement coming out. You're going to be racing at Daytona, so I guess you're being under the sun and a lot of heat there. You need something to keep yourself going, and you signed Celsius Healthy Energy Drink. How excited are you for them to come on board?
Man, I'm really excited. Been with Celsius since towards the end of 2013. Just built a great relationship with the people that are involved with the company, and I just truly believe in the product. And this will be the third time I'm driving the Celsius car, but it's just exciting to know that they're on board, and the car looks great. The Celsius Healthy Energy car will stand out on the track, and we have a lot of people from Celsius coming to the race. So I know I'll have some people there rooting me on to win the thing.
Yeah, it's a pretty sharp-looking paint scheme. I'm looking at it here on BlakeCook.com, and promote your website a little bit there too, you know. So.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
And if you want to go check out the car, you can go there.
Celsius, you know what's unique about Celsius is we call it healthy energy. It is a healthy energy drink. There's no sugar, no aspartame, no artificial food coloring, and very low sodium, no high fructose corn syrup. It's just when you're looking for an energy drink and you're looking for something to pick you up to keep you going, Celsius is the only thing to drink. And there's no crash. I don't go a day without it myself. I wake up, first thing I do is get a Celsius. My favorite color is orange, and I drink that in the morning. Then I go to the gym, and I need another one about 2 o'clock in the afternoon to finish the day off. But I'm a real believer in Celsius. When you use it as a pre-workout, it also helps you burn 93% more body fat during your workout. So it's just good stuff, man. People are starting to drink it more, and it's getting bigger. It's growing like crazy. It's just a great product to be aligned with.
Well, I've never had it, so who knows? Maybe they could ship me a can or something like that. But with all the different ones out there, and they're becoming what they call a healthy energy drink. Is it a carbonated beverage, or is it a plain beverage like you know you would get like a Gatorade or something? Not to promote them, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they have both. They have 2 flavors that are carbonated and 2 flavors that are not carbonated. I like carbonated drinks. It's just something I crave and I like it. So my favorite is orange with Celsius, the sparkling orange, and that is carbonated. But you can get it at, you know, when I need one, I just stop in a vitamin shop. They usually have them cold at vitamin shop. So you can get them there. You can also go on Celsius.com and plug in your zip code, and they'll tell you where you can get them around your area too. But they're pretty available everywhere, man. Most grocery chains have them. I know Publix, Harris Teeter. You know, they're not hard to find. But like you said, they are a healthy energy drink. That's why you get them at places like Vitamin Shoppe and GNC and stuff.
Okay, well, at least I know where there's GNC's just about at every shopping mall and some strip stores in Creation, so that shouldn't be too hard to get. Do they also do an energy shot, like for that on-the-go where you don't want the whole thing and just want to do a little quick burst?
They don't have an energy shot, but they have Celsius packets. It's in a powder form, so you can take, you know, half a packet and pour it in, you know, whatever water you're drinking or whatever, and still get that boost of energy. So they do offer that.
Well, there you go. I know a lot of the other energy drinks out there basically caffeine and sugar is. They'll keep you awake and buzzed, and a couple hours later, you know, you need another one or two or three.
Yeah.
But you have something like this to where, you know, you got over a span of time where, like you said, you don't have that hard crash when it wears off.
Absolutely. You don't have a hard crash. There is caffeine, but there's no sugar. But there's just so many benefits to it. You can go on Celsius.com to read more, but it speeds up your metabolism. They have a proprietary blend that makes this stuff actually work, and it's all backed by, I think, 7 clinical studies that have been done on it. So it's the real deal, man. It's not something that just came out either. It's been around for a long time, and it's just catching on rapidly now because people are pretty conscious about having a healthier energy drink because, you know, you hear a lot about how these energy drinks are bad for you. So Celsius is the one that you can drink and not feel like you're doing something harmful to your body. I mean, it's good.
Now, you're a guy that likes to work out. How important is that in your day-to-day preparation for race weekend?
I think it's very important. I think working out and feeling good about yourself and feeling healthy and fit is good for no matter what you do as a profession. Even if you're not an athlete, when I don't go to the gym and I don't put effort into making myself feel good, I don't feel good. So even if I didn't have to be in great shape to be a NASCAR driver, I think it's important to exercise and feel good about yourself and not get winded walking up a few stairs. Like it's just good, man. I'm a very firm believer in exercise and staying healthy, and that's why Celsius fits with my lifestyle so good, because even if I wasn't racing NASCAR, I'd still be working out just as hard because I was before I even started racing NASCAR. But it definitely can't hurt to work out in my industry. You know, you want to be better than everybody else and trying to find an edge over everybody, and not everybody works out that races. So it's something that I hit on pretty heavy.
Well, I know from years ago, old NASCAR drivers used to be heavy set dudes with beer guts who like to drink and party right after, sometimes even before the race. And I've watched that evolve over the years to where the drivers are coming in younger and younger. And you're a pretty young guy. You've been in the sport a few years, but you're making the whole, running the whole series this year.
Yep. No, you're right. You know, that is how a lot of guys used to be. And you only have to be better than your competition, right? So if nobody out there is in shape, you don't really have to be in shape. But if a guy comes in and he's in good physical condition, he starts winning races and beating you, you better start finding something extra, you know what I mean? So I don't know if that's why it all started, but it seems like most of the NASCAR guys now are in pretty good shape.
Yeah, watch trends change. If you get the one overweight guy that seems to win everything coming up in a few years, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Then nobody will worry about it. So, but no, like you said, I have been around for a couple of years, racing full-time this year. I have a lot of great sponsors. Leaf Filter Gutter Protection is probably my biggest sponsor. They're on the race car the majority of the year. It's a gutter protection where you put it on your gutters and you never have to worry about cleaning them out or them clogging or anything like that. It's lifetime guarantee, an amazing product. But I also have Celsius energy drink, fitness drink, which is a big part of why I get to race every week because of their sponsorship, and Salt Life and Ingersoll Rand and Aqua Hydrate. So I have some great partners that all work together to keep me on the racetrack, and hopefully we finish the best position possible this weekend at Daytona, especially with all those Celsius people there.
That's for sure, and it's a race under the lights Saturday night, and it's always fun I always personally like night racing myself. It's always fun to watch. The cars glow with under the lights and all that. How do you like running at Daytona? I mean, I know the racing has changed from pairs to packs and back to pairs and then back to packs. What are some of the things you're going to be looking to do to get your way to the front this Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I do like racing at Daytona. mainly because I was born at Halifax Hospital in Daytona, and I'm from South Florida, so it's like a home race for me. A lot of friends and family, and like I said, my sponsor Celsius is from here. So I love that part of it, the racing side of it. It's a place that anybody can win, so it opens up a lot of opportunities for a lot of people, and what you have to try to do is, first off, you know, not get any wrecks, which is a pretty tall order because there's, you know, a lot of wrecks and usually wipe out most of the guys. So if you can keep your car clean till that last lap and put yourself in position to be there towards the front, you can walk away with a win. And that's the exciting thing. And that's what we're looking to go do on this Saturday night.
Well, according to your driving style, what are you more apt to do? Have you tried all the different strategies like hanging back or trying to stay up front?
I've tried them all, and the problem is I've hung back all day, and then, you know, they want you to go with 10 laps to go, right? And then you get in a wreck with 5 to go. So it's kind of hard to avoid. So now you just got in a wreck with 5 to go, and you've been running in the back all day. Your sponsor gets no TV time. Nobody's having fun watching you because you're hanging out, and then you wreck anyways. So, you know, I found the best thing to do is just go up there, try to front, run up front, learn as much as you can, and hope you don't get in that big wreck, and see if you can walk away with a win.
So I've seen the wreck start from third place on back at Daytona and Talladega, so it's not that it could happen anywhere, but I think, like you said, the best place to be is trying to stay up front most of the day. And pitch strategy is going to come into play. Do you know when everybody comes in? Do you take 2? Do you take 4? It's like between you and your crew chief. Have you ever, not that I expect you to give details, have you ever worked on anything want to work on anything this week to figure out how you want to pit and whether it's to take 2 or 4? Is it all depends on how the action comes in on Saturday night?
It kind of all depends. Most of the time you take 2 tires. The tire wear isn't very bad at Daytona. Actually, I take that back. The track is getting a little older now. Talladega, we took 2 tires the whole time because the tires lasted on the cars pretty well. There's very little tire wear, so you could just take 2 tires and fuel and go. But Daytona, with the heat in the summertime and at night, we're probably going to be taking 4 tires to keep our car handling well. Unless there's maybe like 10 to go and a caution, you need fuel and you pit, and then you might take 2. But I'd say for the most part, we'll be taking 4.
Yeah, it seems like all the races I've been watching that sometimes the guys that gamble on 4 lose too much track position, and sometimes...
It all depends what everybody else does.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Like, you can take 4 tires, you can be leading the race, take 4 tires, and everybody else behind you takes 4 tires, you're going to come out leading. You can be leading the race, you take 2 tires, everybody behind you takes 4, you're going to get passed in the restart. So it really just depends on what everybody else is doing, and you can never really know what they're going to do. So you have to make the best possible decision you can and hope you don't get – I mean, Jimmy Johnson was a perfect example this weekend at Sonoma where, you know, he was leading the race and – everybody pitted but him, but, you know, he's leading, and if he would have pitted and nobody else would have, he wouldn't have won. And he didn't pit, and everybody else pitted, took 4 tires, and they passed him because they were faster. It's really a gamble, man. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, especially the road course, because you get passed on a road course. It's hard to get that back. At least Daytona or Talladega, you can catch the draft. Or get in front of the draft, do you consider yourself more of a drafter or a draftee? Would you rather be followed and have people sucked in off of your air, or would you be rather taken off theirs?
You have to do both. I mean, very rarely in the Xfinity series do you see the same guy leading all day. So you really gotta, I mean, of course I'd rather everybody suck in my air. That means I'm leading the race. But you have to make sure your car sucks up real good and stays behind somebody real good. But you also got to make sure it runs good out front too, so you can, you know, make a pass for the win and get it done. But I haven't been in that situation yet. So in practice, usually just make sure my car handles good behind people, make sure it sucks up to the guy in front of me pretty good, and then just go to the race and hope for the best.
I guess another concern you have to worry about at Daytona, too, is if you're tucked in too tight, with the way NASCAR rules are, you might have a tendency to overheat, and that's something you have to keep an eye out for, at least if you're out front. That's not a problem, but have you had it with the Toyota? Is it designed to where you can either peek out on either side and get some air and keep your temp down?
Well, over the last few years, there have been different rule packages where I remember overheating and having to peek out and get clean air and all that stuff. But, you know, the latest one I remember, which is Talladega, that just happened, we stayed sucked up tight to the guys in front of me all race long, and I didn't have any overheating issues. Now, and it was a little bit cooler at Talladega than it's going to be at Daytona, so I don't know how big that's going to play into it. But I don't think there's a big concern on overheating unless you kind of do some front bumper damage and damage the opening to the radiator. Then you kind of got to worry about it, but I don't think it'll be an issue.
I guess growing up down there, you're used to the difference in the temperature between the days and nights. How much of the differential at night is going to help? I mean, it should cool down the track a little bit, and you run a little bit, might run a little bit faster, but is it significant?
Not like it is at other tracks. I mean, Florida stays pretty warm all day, all night. You know, the sun shining down on you, you know, not having that sun shining down on you cools off, you know, makes it feel like it's cooled off quite a bit. But, like, you go to some places and it's 80 degrees during the day, it'll get down to 65, 70 at night. In Daytona, it's going to be in the high 80s at night, I'm assuming. So, you know, it really doesn't cool down that much.
Well, Blake, we wish you a lot of luck this Saturday night. Thanks for coming on and filling us in on Celsius Healthy Energy Drinks. I did see a flavor that I might try out. It's the Sparkling Cola, being a cola guy.
Yeah.
I think
yeah, you'll like it, man. Try it out.
Give it a shot.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on your show. And you can follow the race weekend. I'll be tweeting all race long. My Twitter is at Blake Cook Racing. So appreciate you having me on and wish me luck.
Now, how are you going to be tweeting and driving at the same time? Isn't that you already have voice text?
Well, during the race, I won't be tweeting. But
yeah, I know. Just
after practice, after qualifying. Throughout the weekend, I will. And, I'm not allowed to during the race.
Well, I guess it's all because Brad Keselowski pulled out his phone during a wreck, red flag, and started tweeting pictures and things.
Yeah, that ended that. Yep.
But, where could everybody follow you at? Might as well give out all besides BlakeCook.com. You got to plug your Facebook and your Twitter handle and all that good stuff. Instagram,
yeah,
whatever.
Facebook. I think my Facebook is Blake K Racing. I know my Twitter and Instagram is Blake Cook Racing, and Cook is spelled K-O-C-H. But that's what I mainly do is Twitter and Instagram. Love going on there and posting pictures and seeing everybody else's pictures and reading about what's going on. So I love those areas of social media. But like you say, you can always go to my website, BlakeCook.com, and you can learn all about my sponsors there too.
And like I said, thanks again for joining me today. So we'll have to follow you Saturday night on NBC because the new network picks up both your races this year. Last year it was Fox that had them all. And hope you'll join us again.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye now. There you have Blake Cook, driver of the number 88 Celsius Toyota Camry for TriStar Motorsports. Looking to have a very good run this weekend. Being he called the show, who knows? He might, we'll see what happens. You know what happens to people that join us on the air. So that's one of the, I don't like to mention that to him because then it doesn't work. So, but I could tell you guys. Garage Talk Live guest. So anyway, it was a pretty mellow weekend. This week, the only thing we had in action was the ARCA Toro's Chase the Taste 200 at the Winchester Speedway in Winchester, Indiana. And the next race they have will be the 17th, so we'll be checking in on them. Maybe we can get Sarah Quinnett Ching to come on and join us. July 17th. About a month. No, not quite a month. It's the beginning of July. Tomorrow, 1st of July. 4th of July weekend. All the fireworks and stuff. NASCAR is down at Daytona. Yours truly will be in Whitville on Saturday to enjoy the festivities. We'll be at the car show. There's a nice car show out there with some classics and everybody. Some people bring their modern ones in, but you know, like the Challenger SRTs and Boss Mustangs of recent years, as well as some of the old years, a lot of some old Mopars, some Roadrunners and things. We'll see what's out there. And maybe we'll throw some stuff on the Garage Talk Live page. I personally will be entered in the Skeeter's hot dog eating contest. Anybody in the local area wants to get down there, go to Main Street in Whitville, right in front of Skeeter's Hot Dogs. There'll be a platform set up with, I guess, some chairs for X amount of people. I'm one of the few. It's all that they had one last year. So I figured, hey, I like to dabble in these eating contests once in a while. No, I'm not 600 pounds and that kind of thing, you know. I'm just a regular person that likes to eat. Does anybody used to watch that old show on Travel Channel, Man vs. Food, with Adam Richman, where he tries out all these different places' specialties? I think once was Super Killer Hot Wings, and another was 15 dozen oysters, and it was like him versus the food. And most of the time, he won, sometimes the food won. So I figured, hey, I'll try this contest. I've entered a few over my lifetime. It's not a weekly thing, or I'm not a pro at it. So I do it for fun. So, you know, what can I tell you? Anyway, I'm going to take a little breaky and be right back after these words. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live on Blog Talk Radio. Give me a shout. The number is 646-649-1899. And tell me what you thought about the race at Sonoma. It was pretty exciting at the end there, so made it interesting. I didn't want to see Jimmy win. Nothing against Jimmy, but he wins a lot. I'd like to see things change every once in a while, and we had a different winner this year, so more on that in a little bit. We'll see you all in a couple minutes. Be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at CadenceCandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at Facebook.com/CadenceCandle.
And we're back here at Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince. Give me a holler. 646-649-1899. Blake Cook, our guest. Hope you enjoyed listening to him. It was interesting with him signing a new sponsor and talking about racing and getting ready for Daytona. I don't care what you say. Even with the drafts and the racing and all that, you're still on edge, waiting for that big one to happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You don't get a really big one, but you get smaller ones, and then it's tough when you wipe out half the field. So it's just one of those things that you hate to see happen, but it happens anyway. So the next ARCA race, I said, was July 17th. That would be a Friday night. And let's get to the results of that. The Winchester Hurst Taste the Chase 200. Ran this this past Sunday. Usually ARCA races are preliminary to a cup race, so they had a little rainout problem there, so it got bumped to 2 p.m. Sunday. So in competition with the Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma, so but they might have got it. So it's hard to keep one and watch one and the other. If you guys like to watch it, you get two on at the same time. Get picture in picture. I know my satellite provider allows me to use it through the box, and I've used it several times watching the drag race and one in a cup race on the other. So there was a 200 lapper. And it was taken by Austin Wayne Self. It's his first win. Driving the number 98 Ford in the ARCA Series. He's been knocking at the door a few times and finishing in the top 10 as well. But finally taking the checkered flag. Grant Enfinger came home second. He won the first three races of the season and is the points leader, so he stretches that out a little bit. He was the only one, well, being everybody's below him, the only one who actually might have gained a couple points is Austin Wayne himself. We'll get to the point standings in a little bit. Enfinger driving the GMS Chevy. Third is Brandon Jones, driving the number 25. Ansel Menard's Toyota. That is a Venturini Motorsports car that Brandon shares with Frank Kimmel. Frank Kimmel not running full season, so I guess he chose not to run this race, or so they shared the ride with Brandon Jones. Third, Kyle Weatherman started from the pole in the Cunningham Motorsports Ford, came home fourth. Justin Boston, the hydraulic cylinders Toyota, the number 55, came home fifth, sixth. Local boy from my old area, Tommy Hessert, from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, driving the Barbera Autolay and Ford, took sixth place. Seventh, Josh Williams, out of Port Charlotte, Florida. He started sixth, finished seventh. Eighth, James Swanson out of Clarksboro, New Jersey, another guy from my old neck of the woods, running the ARC Series one lap down, first car lap down, eighth place. And the number 48 came home eighth, ninth. driver of the number 2 race101.net Chevrolet, Sarah Cornet-Ching. We've got to get her back on. She needs to improve. So she went from top 20s to top 10s now, and it's good to see her getting there and rounding out the top 10 in the Chase the Taste 200 is AJ Feike. If you all remember him, he ran in NASCAR for a little while, but he was a big mover and shaker. He started 24th and made it all the way to 10th, so it was a good run for him. It was great to see that. And good old Kenny Schrader was back in his own number 52, finished 13th. Kenny will still drive anything, anywhere. So, you have to admire the guy. I remember way, way, way back. He was at Dover, another driver from my area. He used to be the king of Bridgeport. Probably owns every Bridgeport record there is. So they flew back, or yeah, they had to fly back because traffic from Dover back then, you know, the only way you had was Route 13, which is a byway, but there's a lot of traffic, like, to go from Dover all the way through Newcastle to where you could jump on I-295 and then run into Jersey, and then Bridgeport's, like, exit change them. They changed them from exit numbers to mile numbers, so I don't exactly remember the mile number it was. I could drive the exit for you. But because I've been to Bridgeport a few times, it's a nice little 5/8 mile track. So they went there and Schrader drove like 2 races in one day, going from Dover to Bridgeport, just to run a dirt race. It tells you a lot about Kenny Schrader. So if you all remember good old Kenny, he'll drive anything, anywhere. Going to the points, your points leaders, like I said, Grant Enfinger with 3 wins coming in the first 3 races and 11 starts. He maintains the top spot, about 125 points over Josh Williams, who's in second. Tommy Hessert's in third. If I did the math, I'd have them all how far they're back, but too much to do. Austin Wayne Self, who won, is in fourth. David Levine, fifth. Sole possession in sixth place after being tied for a while with the guy behind her is Sarah Cornet-Ching. He has 5 top tens, and she started out in 11 races. The only knock on her was Pocono. She could have had 6 in 11 because she had an oil leak and had to go to the pits for a while, set her back a bit. But she's been running top tens pretty much since her first 5 races. And at the beginning of the year, it seemed like she was only going to run 10 races the whole year, so she got the deal to run the whole season, and she's running for points, and we'll have to have her back on. Good to have her on. Anyway, so there we have the ARCA. Hers Chase the Taste 200 and the points, so we can move that one out of the way. Looking at the win tracker for the Chase from NASCAR, the only other thing that ran this past weekend, NHRA won't be back in action till, I think, this weekend. They're running, where are they running this weekend, producer? They're running Norwalk, Ohio. Thanks. I think with computers, I used to have this stuff all down on paper, so I wouldn't have to, I could just flip through it right then and there, but now everything, doing it on a computer, I'd need about five of them with six different screens just to go in there. They'll be at the Summit Motorsports Park as they try to continue their way till the first week of September when they run the U.S. Nationals at Lucas Oil Raceway Park in Indianapolis. That the track used to be where the Nationwide Series ran. It used to be O'Reilly Park. Now it's Lucas Oil Park. It used to just be Indianapolis Raceway Park. So, and that'll wrap up their regular season, and then they will head to the countdown, which kicks off September 18th at the Z-Max Dragway in Charlotte. So, in the points, leading the divisions, I'm not going to get into it with everybody top 10. I might just do the, I'll just do the top three for you. In the top fuel division, Antron Brown leads Tony Schumacher and Richie Crampton. There's a 72-point gap between first and third there. So that could turn around in one race. If Antron goes out in the first round, and we'll say Richie Crampton goes to the end, and figure 20 points per round. You got four rounds. That's 80 points right there. Boom, there's your difference. In the funny car division, your top three are Matt Hagen, Ryan Capps, and John Force. The old man's still getting her done. He's had a tough year off and on. Got a couple wins this year, but he's, they're figuring out the new Camaro because Ford backed off and pulled and then Castrol left, so he has new sponsors now and a new car, so the engineering's a little different on the Chevys than the Fords that they've been used to for a while, so he has to figure that one out. So he's 153 back, Caps is 87 back, so that's a two-race to win in a row and hope to lay in if actually, maybe three, because you figure you still get points for losing in that first round. Let's see how they tell you how they do the points here. So they get, you know, they get points for the qualifying, well, bonus points. If you qualify in the top, your top number one qualifier, you get like 3 points and stuff like that, but anyway, could happen over the course of a race. In the pro stock division, it's Erica Enders leading the pack over Greg Anderson and Jason Lyne. Jason Lyne, who was the runner-up last year, Erica beat him on the final of the last race event of the season out at What a way to win your first ever championship, coming from behind and taking it in the finale. You couldn't script that any better. Somebody, and don't forget to check out her Racing Red, Racing in Red documentary. Can't wait till that comes out. We'll have her on the promote that as well. Matter of fact, need to have her on again. She's always fun to have on. We got some interesting guests coming up next week. I'll give you that at the end of the day. Well, and there's your top three car division of the NHRA and the top three divisions. Funny car, the two nitro, the top fuel and pro stock. They'll be in action this weekend out at Norwalk. A lot of racing to watch this weekend. For some reason, everybody runs on July 4th. The IndyCar Series, might be the only one who be off. So, let me go find their schedule. I think I have it up here somewhere. But maybe not. I have to go digging it. We'll get the producer to do it. They only have about 20 minutes to go. So let's get to the race at Sonoma. Have that one in the can. Toyota Save Mart 350. Kyle Busch, after being injured in Daytona in an Xfinity race, in the Xfinity race, didn't get a chance to run, finally got back on track to go. He had chalked up his first Xfinity win since returning, and this year he made a statement at the road course in Sonoma by taking the lead from Jimmy Johnson after a late pit stop on a caution, of course, forced everybody that wanted a chance to come in and pit. Johnson stayed out, working strictly on a two-stop strategy, but it wasn't enough. Kyle passed him and was able to get around them and then took Clint Bowyer with him. But Bowyer did not finish second because further back, Kurt Busch was passing cars like no tomorrow and wound up getting into second place and making it the Busch brother pair at the top of the chart. So only Kyle took the win. Kurt just ran out of time. I think if we had another lap or two, we might have been able to catch Kyle. Well, past Kyle. I think he was just about to catch him, but he wound up at second place. Makes it the first brother 1-2 finish, which is pretty neat. The race took 2 hours, 55 minutes, 39 seconds. Don't worry about rainouts in California. They're in a drought situation. So 110 lap race. So that's where the strategy, because you can't get lapped pitting under green on a road course. The speed was 74.7. Margin of victory, 0.5 seconds. So it was, you know, like I said, Kurt was catching his brother. If he had a chance, I think he might have passed him. Clint Bowyer wound up third. Harvick was fourth. Joey Logano, another one of the guys that got passed towards the end, was fifth. Jimmy Johnson wound up sixth. Dale Jr. was seventh. Casey Kane, eighth. They have three Hendrick drivers at sixth, seventh, and eighth in the top ten. Ninth, Ryan Newman, and a good run for Sam Hornish Jr., finishing in the top 10. So, good run for Stewart. 12th place finish. Jamie McMurray. There were five cautions for 21 laps. Nine lead changes amongst five drivers. Then all A.J. Allmendinger won the pole. It's a shame he couldn't hold on for that because he could have used that in the chase. So, and if you're looking at points, and here's where points come into play. You need to be in the top 30 and a win to make the chase. Right now, Kyle Busch is 37th. He needs to climb. They say he needs to finish 13th or better from I guess yesterday, or, you know, from Daytona to Richmond in September to get into the top 30. But let's see who he has to pass. Cole Witt, Justin Allgaier, Brett Moffitt, Alex Bowman, Michael Annette, Josh Wise, and Matt DiBenedetto. I see him getting around to Benedetto, maybe Josh Wise, Michael Annette, with a good finish this week at Daytona. Daytona's going to be strange. Talk about with Blake, even in the Cup Series, strategies come into play. Do you hang back? Do you try to lead and stay up front? It's pretty much what you have to do. So we'll see what happens there. But I'd like to see Kyle get into the chase. It'd be something if he can get in and win his first championship after being injured. I know a lot of people complain about the rules that NASCAR throws out there, but, you know, what are you going to do? It was Kyle's 30th Sprint Cup Series win. It's hard to believe he only has 30. Seems like he wins a lot, but in the Nationwide Series, he's got a lot of wins. Almost, he's got double that, if not more. But let's check the Trace Tracker. Johnson with 4 wins. Now, this is how it stands according to wins. Kyle Busch has a win. He's at the bottom of the pack. But like I said, the points make the difference. You have Johnson with 4. This is how it would shake out. Johnson with 4. Harvick with 2. Kurt with 2. Keselowski, Logano, Hamlin, Kenseth, Dale Jr., Carl Edwards, and Truex. Those right there are guaranteed in. And then the rest of the 16 follow points. Kyle Busch is that bubble. He needs to stay out of trouble and finish in the top 13 or better. And I have a feeling he's got the way to do that. So let's hear from Kyle and what he has to say after his first win and being injured. He's there with crew chief Adam Stevens and Coach Gibbs, the car owner.
Okay, everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started with today's winner's press conference here at the 27th Annual Toyota Save Mart 350. We're about to be joined by our winning race driver, Kyle Busch, driver the number 18. M&M's Crispy Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. With the win today, Kyle has essentially clinched himself a spot in the grid for the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup.
Well, that was wrong. I don't like to use the right words in there, but I'll use it against you.
With the win, Kyle has tied Kevin Harvick for 23rd on the all-time wins list. This is his first victory and second top 10 finish in 2015. His last victory was 35 starts, 46 races ago at Auto Club Speedway on March 23rd, 2014. It's his second victory and third top 10 here in 11 races at Sonoma Raceway. Kyle, tremendous run out there today. You gutted it out. Could you please take us through the final few laps as it looked like that victory was coming ever so closer, what it took to get you across the finish line?
Yeah, it was a fun race today, and I actually had a lot of fun out there racing here at Sonoma. Normally, it's kind of a nightmare sometimes for us in this 18 team, but, you know, we had a great day today. The coming down pit road and the cautions flying as we were on pit road twice, that certainly is so beneficial at this racetrack. That just gives you such great track position and gets you out front. So that was a huge benefit, you know, just being able to come down when we did and to be able to have that strategy work out for us was awesome. But, you know, there at the end, our car was a really good short-run car. And when we had about 15 laps on our tires there before that final caution came out, and I figured, you know, Adam figured it would be about 8 to go when we went green, that, 15, we were past our prime. You know, we needed to come in and get tires, and that was going to be our best chance to win the race. And I figured there was going to be a lot of guys that came behind us, but not as many as that did come. I didn't expect that many. So it gave us pretty good track position going back green. I think we were seventh, and Boyer was right in front of me. We had to pass him. He kind of got into it with the 20 a little bit and kind of got taken offline some. And that got by, that allowed us to get by him pretty quick, getting into turn three, and then off of 3A, I made another pass on somebody, and then, you know, maybe one more getting into four, I'm not sure. And by then, I think I was second, you know, and my sights were set on Jimmy. That was pretty cool. It was certainly happened real quick, and, you know, gave us an opportunity for a win. Without that pit stop, we definitely wouldn't have been in that position. We would have been fighting off all the guys behind us like Jimmy and those guys were. So great call by Adam Stevens, and great pit work on my team. All the guys on pit road did a great job today. And I can't say enough about this victory and my team and everyone from Joe Gibbs Racing, from Joe Gibbs to my team guys, to the 11, the 19, and the 20 team. You know, the chassis shop, body shop, fab shop, everybody that does so much to pull for me, that helped me and you know, prayed for me to get me back in this race car to get me here today was quite special.
Great. We're also joined here by crew chief.
That's Kyle Busch, and let's pick up second place driver, Kurt, older brother Kurt, and see what he had to say.
All right, we're going to continue with our post-race press conferences for the Toyota SageMart 350 at Sonoma Raceway. We're now joined by our second-place finisher, Kurt Busch, the driver of the number 41 Haas Automation Chevrolet. Kurt, this is your sixth top five and eighth top ten so far this season. Talk a little bit about the battle there at the end to take over second.
Yeah, what a great race. We had a fast race car, and we had what I thought was the winning strategy to have the you know, the cooler tires and not so much worn out tires at the end. And as the race unfolded, you know, we had two sequences that went against us, and I still thought we had a strong enough car to overcome that. And one of them was the way that the 18 got on pit road before one of the yellows came out, and then we just had a tough pit stop on one of them and lost two spots. And so that sequence was about four positions on track. And, you know, if you've got a fast car like I had, it was a pleasure to drive. I mean, I was smiling the whole time. I was wheeling it. I was giving it everything I could. And once I got back up into the top three, you know, those are race winners here. Those are guys that have done it before, and they know what the nuances that it takes to be competitive at this track. And the game changes a little bit with the way that people block and dive down into the corners, and that's acceptable. It was all great racing. And I just ran out of laps to I think I was a little too patient on restarts because I knew my car was that good. And so I didn't necessarily drive the proper race in my mind, but I think everything unfolded as good as it could have. And to bring our Haas Automation Chevy home second at a road course, you know, it's a testament to Stuart Haas Racing and everybody that puts in the effort to build these cars. And it's a lot of fun to drive. I mean, we led a lot of laps today. We qualified second, finished second. I know it doesn't show much, but it's definitely a statement type of weekend for us.
That's, like I said, Kurt qualified second. I didn't go over the points spread. As a matter of fact, Kurt did. Jimmy Johnson led the most laps, so he got two bonus points for one leading the lap, one leading the most. So max points were not given to Kyle just for that reason, but he did get the win. So they said it was going to be another race for Jimmy Johnson. Kurt Busch led the second most amount of laps. Johnson had led twice for 45, and Kurt led three times for 43. Boyer once for four. Allmendinger once for one, led the first lap, and I think got passed after that. And Kyle led twice for 17 laps. So there's your five drivers that led all the laps. So just figured we'd hear from Kurt and Kyle. Let's get back to seeing who we're going to pick for Daytona. The winner of the Coke Zero 400 last year was Alec Almirola, which put him in the chase. He wasn't the big lap leader, but he led twice for 14 laps. and both of them, and the important one, the final one. Brian Vickers, who is not in the car this week. I don't know if Mikey Waltrip will be hopping in that car because he doesn't have broadcast duty now that the season's over for Fox and NBC's picking things up, so he might be jumping into 55. But Kurt Busch third in that race. There's a guy that usually come in runner-up at Daytona without a win. Casey Mears, Austin Dillon, Hammond, Michael McDowell, and Danica Patrick, 8th, 9th, Clint Boyer, and 10th, Marcus Ambrose in the 9 car. This year, that's Sam Hornish Jr. in that car. Danica runs well there. But only finishing 8th, I think, she needs to come on the show. I don't know anybody who knows her better. I have a closer mutual friend. Maybe we'll see what happens. Anyway, makes it kind of interesting. Vickers is out, health problems. Kurt Busch is running real well. Harvick runs well at Daytona. Newman runs well at Daytona. Dale Jr. runs well at Daytona. So it's kind of interesting who's going to take that race. I think I'm going to go with somebody I know can take the win. I'm going to go with Dale Jr. on this one. So if you all want to give me a call, we have a couple minutes left. Number is 646-649-1899. We're going to pick Dale Jr. to win. Tona, he seems to have the winning formula there. It's whether he's in it to win it or in it to cruise around. So we'll just have to wait and see. But he definitely has the tools. He definitely has the know-how. He's with the team that has a shot at it. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be between him, Harvick, maybe Kurt Busch. Got to watch those two. They're running real well. Harvick hasn't finished second or first in a while, so he's overdue to add another top two into his list. But anyway, hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed our guest, Blake Cook. And try out that Celsius Healthy Energy drink. I think I'm going to. They'd make a cola, so it's a shame they don't sell it at your local convenience store, but go to a GNC or one of the other vitamin shops there, and they should have it there. Or go to Celsius.com. You'll be able to find it there. Anyway, it's our show for today. I'm Vince Bonfigli. We'll be wrapping up Daytona next week, and we'll have Fox Pit Sports Reporter, Fox Sports Pit Reporter, let me say that the right way, Jamie Little is going to be joining us, and now that she is off the rest of the season, we get to talk with her, and we're also looking to have former Miss Sprint Cup, Anne-Marie Rhodes, who is now the host of Gallery of Guns. They had their season premiere on Sportsman last night. You want to check out when it's back on, go to our website, our Facebook page, and we'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing.